Welcome back to Scored Sports Podcast. I'm Lewis's podcast, Lane Frank. We're now in episode 158. Yes, we're 158 episodes through, and I got an action-packed episode planned for you. We got a lot to break down as we're through the first half of the NBA season. All-Star Weekend just wrapped up. Great stuff in college basketball. Spring training starting right now. So much more. Stay tuned for action-packed episode 158. Let's hop into it. Let's start off episode 158, how we always do, with our headlines in the NBA. First thing in the NBA to talk about, NBA All-Star Weekend. Let's kick it off with the dunk contest. For the first time in my life, I did not watch any part of NBA All-Star Weekend. I didn't watch the dunk contest, didn't watch three-point contest, didn't watch skills challenge, or even the main event, the All-Star game. But Mac McClung did win dunk contest yet again for back-to-back years. But it's a joke. Mac McClung is wearing a G League jersey. Make a better incentive for these guys to do dunk contest. We're going to talk about that on the top five ways to make the NBA All-Star game better. Mac McClung won that dunk contest. Damian Lillard took home NBA All-Star Game MVP. Even though Karl-Anthony Towns dropped 50 in a loss, Team East put up 211 points. Crazy stuff to see right there. Other stuff in the NBA that happened over All-Star Weekend, Kevin Ollie will be the new Brooklyn Nets interim head coach. I want to talk about that a little bit later, but Jacque Vaughn, a guy that was their interim after they fired Steve Nash, then they gave him a five-year contract out after just 1 year into that contract. Kind of surprised to see that, but also the way he has handled this team, not using Cam Thomas and really overusing Ben Simmons, don't love it. My thoughts right there on the Nets. For the New York Knicks, their injuries are so bad right now, and even people are saying, can this hurt the Knicks in the long run? I think so. Ever since Brunson has been a bit banged up, Julius Randle has been banged up, this team has struggled. Hate to see it as a New York Knicks fan. So it's the NFL. Not too much news in the NFL. Just Justin Fields. Talk about him for a second. He says, I want to stay in Chicago. I don't care that I unfollowed the Bears on Instagram. I just need a break from football. I also unfollowed the NFL. I don't think that's crazy either. I get how a guy can want a break from seeing that on his timeline every single time he opens his phone. Just football, and it reminds him of the horrible seasons he's had. Now, hopefully, Justin Fields can have better years in the future, whatever team that's with. That's the main thing going on in the NFL. Free agency coming up. Justin Fields, where will he land? Leave your thoughts on that in the comments. For the MLB, we got spring training starting this week. Get ready for a great MLB season. Got a lot of stuff to talk about. That's about for the headlines this week. Now, take the week. I love doing take the week, even though I miss Squared Sports NFL game day, picking the NFL games every week. But we got take of the week back here yet again, and let's break it down. So much to talk about the MLB, new season starting. But the one takeaway I'm getting right now is how many elite free agents we have that aren't signed. This is not something normal that we've ever seen in MLB. Like, the only time I'll say we've ever seen it is the lockout season, because that's when guys couldn't sign anywhere from December 7th to March 15th. This is different. This is completely different, in my opinion, because why are these guys holding out? No COVID, no anything. These guys aren't hurt. I don't get it. These are superstars of the game. Blake Snell is coming off a Cy Young level season. Blake Snell is a Cy Young winner. He's an elite pitcher. He can get the job done for you. He's elite, and he's a big lefty. He's a guy who doesn't need $400 million. So why is Blake Snell not signed yet? Matt Chapman, a guy who just produces, has been All-Star almost every year. Why is he not signed yet? Jordan Montgomery, a very solid starter. Won the World Series this year with Texas Rangers. That's a perfect guy to sign. And JD Martinez, a superstar in baseball. Maybe not anymore, but he's been a superstar in his career. JD Martinez, why is he not signed? That doesn't make sense to me. And the last one, a guy who I think can have a Hall of Fame career still, and he has the accolades, and he has the stats to back it up, is Cody Bellinger. Still so young into his career, still has been an MVP winner before, has been MVP finalist before, and has been a Rookie of the Year with over 330 home run seasons. Cody Bellinger. Why is Cody Bellinger not signed yet? It's because most of these guys are signed as Scott Boras? I don't think so. Like, the MLB market for so many guys nowadays was selling out for Ohtani, selling out for Yamamoto, that we forget about maybe some of these guys right here. Why won't the Dodgers go out there and say, okay, let's get Bellinger? Why won't the Cubs go out there and say, let's get Bellinger? Yankees. I don't get it. Now, do they want to be rentals? Because at some point, when all these guys, they don't want to be rentals, they want to get that 5-year, they want to get that 10-year, $200, $300 million extension. They're not going to get that in March. That's what we're in basically right now. This is the last week of February. They're not getting that $300 million contract the week before the season starts. We're in spring training. Doesn't make sense to me. That's my take of the week. Leave thoughts on that in the comments. Now, top five. This week's top five is the top five ways to fix NBA All-Star Weekend. I didn't watch All-Star Weekend. I bet you didn't watch All-Star Weekend. But I've used to love the All-Star Weekend. I thought it was one of the great events of the year. But now it's so boring, not exciting. I miss when All-Star Weekend was exciting. So let's figure out a way to make it exciting again. Here are my top five ways to fix All-Star Weekend. Number five, keep the three-point contest the same. It creates drama. It's thriller. We love the way the three-point contest is. You get superstars involved in it. It's great. Keep that the same. Only thing you have to keep. Five, keep the three-point contest the same. Number four, create a real incentive and a real show for the dunk contest. Maybe the winner gets $3 million, maybe something crazy like that. Or maybe to make it more fun, the crowd gets a vote. Maybe you have like a button in the stands or something. You click like 10 for that dunk or 0 for that dunk. Now that can get a little bit out of hand. Maybe it's just people trolling. But I think that's a good way to do it. Get some real superstars involved in this dunk contest. I don't want to see Jacob Toppin, who's on a two-way contract. I don't want to see Mack McClung, who's on a two-way contract. Jaylen Brown, good superstar, but he put on a terrible show. I want to see Donovan Mitchell do it again, a guy who's won the dunk contest. I want to see Giannis do it again, a guy who's been in the dunk contest before. I want to see LeBron do a dunk contest before his career ends. That's number four. Number three, make the Rising Stars game go back to normal. Now, whether normal for you is the rookies or sophomores game, which I think is a great idea. I'd love to see Victor Wembanyama going up against Paolo Banchero and Chet Holmgren, if we're considering Chet Holmgren a sophomore instead of a rookie right now. But also, it could be USA versus World. That could be fun right there. You could see maybe Paolo Banchero playing for Team USA against Victor Wembanyama on Team World. I don't like the way they have it right now, where it's a whole ball-out tournament for NBA Rising Stars game. I hate it right there. That's number three. Number two, remove the skills challenge for a one-on-one tournament. Now, people bring up a one-on-one tournament. They want LeBron versus KD in it. That's not going to happen. That's just not going to happen. But the guys you get in the skills challenge, you get good players. You get Tyrese Halliburton. You get Trae Young. You get Victor Wembanyama. I think people would love to see a Victor Wembanyama versus Chet Holmgren one-on-one. I think I'd love to see a Tyrese Halliburton versus Trae Young one-on-one. Build a one-on-one tournament. Now, maybe that can get a bit out of hand if you're going Victor Wembanyama versus Trae Young because of the height difference, but it could still be very fun, in my opinion. That's number two. And number one, the All-Star Game winning conference gets home court advantage in the finals. We've seen it in baseball, ended in 2017, that rule, but that's a real way to get competitiveness in the All-Star Game. If you don't want to be competitive in the All-Star Game, don't play in the All-Star Game. I want to see the best talent in the world on the court at the same time, not just messing around, actually going their hardest. That's number one. That's about my top five ways to fix NBA All-Star Weekend. What are your thoughts? Leave them in the comments. Now, did you know, this week's Do You Know, it's a great one. Did you know the Cleveland Browns in 2018, when they had Baker Mayfield and Tyrod Taylor and team, started 0-0-1, one tie in their first game. That was their best start in 14 years. So the 14 years prior, they started every season 0-1. This year, they started with a tie. Didn't know that? Leave down in the comments. Poor Browns. I mean, they finally have turned their franchise around somewhat. But we'll always remember those 15 terrible years they had. So many terrible years. That's a hilarious stat right there. Didn't know that? That's about for Didn't Know This Week. So my spotlight for this week is on a champion-winning coach who's finally getting a head coaching job after 6 years of not getting a head coaching job. And it's Kevin Ollie, the new interim head coach of the Brooklyn Nets. For me, this is really interesting because Kevin Ollie was a guy who was the head coach of UConn from 2012 to 2018, and he won the championship in 2014. Now, for all the people that are going to say that was Jim Calhoun's team, no, it wasn't. Jim Calhoun left in 2011. Kevin Ollie won the championship in 2014. Completely different thing that Kevin Ollie had to build around. That UConn team was a low seed, and they won the NCAA tournament. What a great win that was for Kevin Ollie and his squad winning that championship. But some things went wrong at UConn. He got fired in 2018. Hasn't had a head coaching job since. Really hasn't had a coaching job since. But he's never had a head coaching job in the NBA. I think that's really important to think about right here because Kevin Ollie played over 10 years in the NBA. He's someone Kevin Durant says, I credit my whole career to when I was playing with Kevin Ollie in Oklahoma City. I wanted Kevin Ollie instead of Billy Donovan back in 2014. I get all that from the Kevin Durant standpoint. Now it's exciting to see Kevin Ollie in Brooklyn. And Brooklyn fans, don't freak out right here. But if this move was made a year ago, say you fired Steve Nash a year ago and Kevin Ollie becomes head coach, wasn't even on the staff at the time. Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are still in Brooklyn, in my opinion, because of Kevin Ollie. I think Kevin Ollie's a really good coach who can be really respected in the league, a former player, a guy who's really not unknown in most NBA circles, but he's been out of the game for a while. And he's a mystery. He's a puzzle because he's won a championship. It digs what wrong at UConn, and we all know that that's college basketball. I don't think he was ever meant to be a college basketball head coach, but he is. He was. Now he's an NBA head coach, and I hope he can keep this job with the Brooklyn Nets. I really do. I think it'd be great if he could keep this job with the Brooklyn Nets and keep things going. For Brooklyn fans, they've had it so rough. From when they fired Steve Nash, which shouldn't have happened. Steve Nash should never have been fired. They had a rough start that year. But Steve Nash is a good head coach, in my opinion, and probably still deserves to be a head coach in the NBA again one day. But that might have just been a one-shot for Steve Nash. I'll try it once. If I hate it, I hate it. I'll never go back into coaching. Okay, say that right there. But Kevin Ollie is exciting for the Brooklyn Nets. He's going to love a guy like Cam Thomas. He's going to let Ben Simmons play physical basketball. He's not just going to run through him. It's not going to be the Jack Vaughn playbook just through Ben Simmons. No. Ben Simmons is going to play a lot. He's going to maybe try to get back to that 2018 future LeBron Ben Simmons that we once saw. But Cam Thomas is going to get shots. Mikal Bridges is going to get shots up. This is a very talented team that needs to do well with a very bad record right now. It's my opinion. Excited to see what Kevin Ollie can do in Brooklyn. Back for the spotlight this week. Now, we got college basketball madness, soon to be March. Madness there, buddy. One of the last episodes of the month of February before we get into the best month for college basketball, March, everybody. NCAA tournament, conference tournaments, sign me up. Fire me up for March Madness. I'm excited for it. There's still a lot of stuff, great stuff going on in college basketball right now. Let's hop into it. The number one team in the country, UConn Huskies, the first team this season to be unanimous number one. What do they do in their first game? Well, they lose by 15 to Creighton. That's just how college basketball has gotten this year. Actually, I think they lost by 19 to Creighton, 85 to 66. Creighton is a decent team. I have them in the Final Four preseason. I don't know if I still have that. But for UConn, you're the number one team in the country. That's how you come out flatlining your first game as the unanimous number one team in the country. But number two, Purdue, a guy, Zach Edey, who everyone thinks is the next coming of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, one of the greatest college basketball players of all time. Zach Edey, they think he is. But he's been in college basketball for so long. I saw a draft board having Zach Edey as a lottery pick this week. What does he do? Goes up against Ohio State with an interim head coach, one of the worst teams in the Big Ten, and he let Zed Key bully him for 40 minutes. You know me. I'm biased. I hate Ohio State. But that's a great win for them right there. For Zach Edey, you got bullied. Purdue, you got bullied. Every year in the NCAA tournament, Purdue can't produce because of stupid things like this. You look at the St. Peter's game 2 years ago. That's an elite shot to make it to the Elite Eight. You have great players. You have Zach Edey. You have Jaden Ivey. You have Travion Williams. And you're playing a 15 seed. Just win that game here in the NCAA Elite Eight. You're playing, I don't remember the schools. It was a Fairleigh Dickinson. First game of the NCAA tournament as a 1 seed, and you lose to a 16 seed. Zach Edey's not meant for big-time college basketball. Not even real big-time basketball. Ever likes to say he's big-time basketball. I disagree with that right there. Zach Edey, UConn, they lost. At Purdue with Zach Edey, they lost. Crazy stuff right there going on in college basketball. Duke, they rebounded a lot after a loss to North Carolina. Been playing great ever since. North Carolina has dropped their rankings mightily since that game. Since Armando Bacot said the ACC runs through me, they have one win, and that was in overtime against Miami. They dropped from 3-10. Duke up to number 8 right now. Arizona, they're a great team. Great wins right now. They're finally finding their groove, their strive. They're winning games. Caleb Love is playing like one of the best guards in the country, like we know he can be. They're playing great. Pele Larson, great part of the squad too. Umar Ballo. Every year, Arizona is an elite team in the regular season. Just under Tommy Lloyd so far, they haven't been able to piece it together in March Madness in that NCAA tournament. I hope they can figure it out this year. Dayton, a team that's ranked number 15 in the country, led by Deron Holmes, their big man. Deron Holmes, big great player of the country this year, but they lost tonight to George Mason. They're a 16 team in the country, and they lost to a random team. Look out for that if you're filling out your bracket in March Madness. Dayton could be on upset watch first round of the NCAA tournament. BYU, their first year in the Big 12 has just been so smooth. They're ranked. They just got a great win over Baylor on Saturday. Bat for the news in college basketball. Breaking down the stuff. Going into March Madness for college basketball, there's the madness. Now, at the buzzer. This week's at the buzzer. It's getting me fired up. We're going to talk about the college football playoff, the new proposed college football playoff, and it's actually going into effect this year. So originally the plan was going to be, it's going to be 12 teams, still going to be 12 teams, but it's going to be six automatic qualifiers from the six best conference winners. Great. That's when we had five power conferences. Now we only have four, and then there are going to be six at-large bids. That all sounds great, but now it's going to be, yeah, five conference winners, which does sound good, but again, there's only four power conferences now, so the point of moving it to six to five doesn't really make sense to me because you're still going to get that random group of five team in there that's going to get slaughtered by any team in the top 25. That's just my opinion, though. So we'll say that right there with the automatic qualifier. The first or the best four conference champions get those top four bids, and then the rest are at large, except for that other one. So you get five automatic in, four of the top five get buys. The fifth doesn't, but they get in automatically, and then you got the seven at-large bids. Something I found interesting and something somebody pointed out, Notre Dame, they're not in a conference. They can have the greatest team in the country, greatest team of all time, number one seed in the AP poll, number one in the coaches poll, but in the CFP poll, they're going to be number five. They're not going to get an automatic buy because they didn't win their conference. Again, the four top conference winners, they get a buy. But also to win your conference, you have to play conference championship week, which builds on an extra game for you right there. Well, the teams that didn't play that week, they get their bye week. So if you're giving them the bye week, why are you making them play that extra game? That's why I think conference championship week should be dead for so many reasons, because I don't want to see Michigan and Ohio State play back-to-back weeks. I don't want to see any of this stuff with conference championship week. I think conference championship games in college football are irrelevant as of right now. And that showed to Florida State beating Louisville, going 13-0, and still missing out. Alabama, they had a rough season all year long, but they make their conference championship game and they beat Georgia, even though I still firmly believe Georgia was one of the best teams in the country, and Alabama, any other given Saturday, would not have beaten Georgia. Just my opinion. Conference championship week should be dead. College football playoff, you're bringing the new 12-team in. You're bringing those five automatic qualifiers. Should be four. Not five. The Notre Dame rule is insane. It's ludicrous. I don't love it. Leave your thoughts on that in the comments. Saw a thing that said they might try to expand to 14 next few years. What are we doing? What happened to the game I love of it being four best teams? Before Michigan got good, I was a big fan of expanded playoffs. Now that Michigan's made the playoffs 3 years in a row, I'm cool with getting the four best teams in there. Now, the best for last question day. This week's question today is, who should be on the cover of the new EA College Football 25 video game? It got confirmed on Friday. EA finally, for the first time in 3 years, made a real post about EA College Football 25, a college football video game coming out this summer. For the first time since 2014, we're getting a college football video game. I kind of feel like not having a college football video game has kind of been stolen from me my whole childhood, having to play NCAA 14 instead of getting a new college football video game every year, because I never really got to play. I wasn't old enough to play those games. I wasn't watching college football in 2014, but it would have been great to have a college football video game in 2018. This year for Michigan, maybe the Lamar Jackson years. So who should be on the cover? Some great options that I think are great options are have all the Heisman winners from the years that they couldn't have NCAA college football video games. So that would be Johnny Manziel, Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston, Lamar Jackson, Bryce Young, Baker Mayfield. That's a great option right there. Have all those guys on there. Joe Burrow. Another one I saw was maybe put Travis Hunter on the cover. Maybe put Shedeur Sanders on the cover with Deion Sanders. Have a Colorado edition. It's a good idea right there. And the last one, you know how the game Madden, after John Madden, what if they made the game like Saban? Put Nick Saban on the cover, the GOAT edition. All great options. Leave your thoughts in the comments. That's about for question day this week. That's about for Squared Sports and Lane Frank, episode 158. Thank you for tuning in. Follow Squared Sports on Instagram at Squared Sports for the best sports content, news, and updates daily. Follow Squared Sports on Twitter at Squared Sports for more polls and stuff. Follow Squared Sports on TikTok at Squared Sport. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review for the best sports content in the game. Be back here next week, episode 159. Stay tuned.